Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
This morning I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 8, verses 18 through 22. Matthew chapter 8, verses 18 through 22. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Another disciple said to him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead."
Chris, thank you for reading that passage. It's a most interesting statement being made by our Lord and a conversation going on with others. In that particular statement that was just read, the Lord is placing emphasis upon following Him. Well, we're all here this morning because we say we're followers of Jesus. And the Lord in that statement is saying how important that really is. However, one of the first things that He points out as you really analyze His words is that He is not promising us that if we follow Him, there's going to be any earthly reward. Now, we will be blessed, but He says, I'm not promising you that you're going to be rewarded as far as earthly things are concerned. In fact, He's saying, you may have to suffer some privation. You will have to make some sacrifices. And then in the second place, He says, the most important thing in your life is to follow Me. Well, you know, for a long time, all of us in our daily life, our secular life, have given priority to certain things. We might even make a list. Today I need to do this first. But there are things in our mind and in our life that we know are more important than some other things. And so we give them priority. Well, it's amazing as you read through the Scriptures and in the light of the Lord saying, I've got to be the most important thing if you're going to follow Me, to realize that there are a number of times when Jesus said, here are some things that need to have priority in your life. In fact, He just uses the word first. Put this first. And so this morning, let's look at some of those things that Jesus emphasized need to be first place in our life, priorities in our life. And I'd like to begin with a statement made in the 23rd chapter of Matthew, verse 26, where He says that we're to clean first the inside of the cup and of the platter. He says the outside will take care of itself. It's an interesting play on words here. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first the inside of the cup and of the platter, that the outside thereof may become clean also. And then He said, you're like whited sepulchres, which outwardly appear beautiful, but inwardly are full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanliness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. It's pretty obvious the Lord is striking hard at the sin of hypocrisy in that statement among the Jewish religious leaders of His day. And He's saying they made a pretense on the outside of appearing very righteous, very holy, but He said, I see your heart. And inside, you're a hypocrite. And then He used that very graphic illustration. He said, you're like graves, like sepulchres. And to this day, when you go to Israel, you'll find that many of the tombs are above ground. And so He said, you're like these whited sepulchres. They've been whitewashed. And you can almost imagine them gleaming in the sunlight. Beautiful to look at. But He said, inside of those whitewashed tombs, it's corruption, dead men's bones, uncleanliness. And He's saying that's the way you Pharisees are. You look so pious on the outside, but really when you look inside your heart, then it's just not that way. I remember when I was a young preacher over in Dixon County, there was a man in the congregation that owned a lumber business. And one day, for some reason, we were talking about it, and he mentioned how they would go through the woods sometime and try to pick out the best trees for them to cut and use in the lumber business. And he said sometimes you would see what we'd call a mighty oak, great-looking tree. They'd cut it down, and they'd find that the heart of the tree was rotten. It just was not on the inside what it looked like on the outside. And so the Lord is saying, not only to these people of His day, but He's saying to us, you really need to be concerned about what's inside first. You give a priority to your life. It's not put on that outward show, but be sure what's inside of you is what it ought to be. And that's a theme that's emphasized time and time again throughout the Bible. You go back to Proverbs, for instance, in the fourth proverb or chapter, in the 23rd verse, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. What your heart is, what you put in your heart, that's what you really are. Doesn't make any difference what it looks like on the outside. And the same thought in Matthew 15:19. Out of the heart come forth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, railings. These are the things which defile the man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not the man. Well, you know, we sit here this morning, we read this passage about what the Lord said to those people long ago. Can we not apply it to ourselves? We sit here and worship. We can make an outward pretense. We can deceive each other. We can make each other think that maybe we're something that we're not. But then to realize the Lord is never deceived. The Lord sees the inside of us. He sees our heart. And so, a very simple illustration that he gave, but one that's so powerful. You wash the inside first. Wash the inside of the cup and the platter. The outside will take care of itself. And that's true with our lives, isn't it? Be careful what we put in our hearts, in our minds, because eventually that's what's going to appear on the outside. But that's not the only priority the Lord gave. There's another verse that he mentions in the 7th chapter of Matthew, and this is in verse 5. Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam that is in thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. Well, we've all read that statement many, many times, and in that statement the Lord is making some of us look pretty ridiculous. As we try to find the little faults in each other's lives or somebody else's life, when in reality there may be that 2x4 that's protruding from our own eye. And I think really the emphasis is we need to be awfully slow in picking out the faults of others when there may be things in our own life that is so glaringly wrong. You remember that answer that Jesus gave one time? Some men brought a woman. She'd been found in the act of adultery. That was not so important to them. They were trying to trap the Lord. And so they bring this woman to Jesus, and they say, now Moses says, stone her to death. What do you say do? And by the way, that's the time Jesus was stooping down, writing in the sand. And he just kept on writing for a few moments, it seems. And they kept asking, and so finally he stood up. And he said, basically, okay, which one of you fellas hasn't sinned? You pick up a rock and you throw it at her first. They left. Beginning from the oldest to the least, they just walked off and left Jesus and the woman. And Jesus did not condone what she had done as being wrong, but he pointed out that really there was so much wrong in those men's lives, they didn't have any business trying to find fault with somebody else. And he said to the woman, go and sin no more. Thankfully, we have a God that when we sin, if we repent, will forgive us. But you think about those men trying to find fault with the woman when there was so much in their own lives. And folks, we need to be awfully careful in our own lives. When we start gossiping and talking about other people and maybe tearing down their character, maybe with the idea that it's going to make me look better if I can find fault with them, when in reality, the Lord who sees our hearts, who sees our lives, sees the 2x4 protruding from our own lives. We're all familiar with the story concerning Stonewall Jackson. Robert E. Lee's right-hand man, probably the best general he had. So strong that in the face of battle, in the face of the enemy, he would stand firm and got that nickname, Stonewall. He would stand like a stone wall. But one day as he was coming back to the camp, he was shot accidentally, but nevertheless shot and killed by one of his own men. I think it's tragic sometimes to think about those, even within the Lord's church, who've been destroyed by their own brethren. Somebody saying something, just finding fault, criticizing. And somebody that could have been saved and could have been of such great worth to the Lord and to their own lives, and they've just cut down because somebody with a beam in their eye was picking out specks in somebody else's life. So let's take the Lord's admonition and cast out first the faults, those big errors in our own life, before we start trying to pick out faults in others' lives. I certainly don't want to be misunderstood as to say we should not try to help others, and if there's sin, point that out. But here's another verse. It's likewise in the book of Matthew. It's chapter 5 now. And this is beginning with verse 23 and then verse 25. If therefore you're offering your gift at the altar, and there you remember that your brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Well, when we come together, as we have this morning, to worship, we need to be sure that we're in a right relationship and have a right attitude toward our God. But by the same token, we need to be sure that we have a right attitude toward each other, toward our brothers and our sisters in Christ. It's sad sometimes we have ill feelings toward others, or maybe somebody hurt us, maybe they said something that hurt our feelings, or so many things. Well, he's saying, if you've got a situation like that and you've come to worship and you just can't worship acceptably because you're thinking about all of these things, just leave your gift there. Of course, that would have been under that Old Testament worship. But he said, leave your gift there, leave your sacrifice, go find that brother and get it straightened out, make it right, then come back and worship. And the point is, we have to have a right relationship with each other as well as with God if our worship is going to be acceptable. Well, what is our duty to our fellow man when things like that happen? And I know you've read it, but look at what the Lord says. Here it is from the Lord. Matthew 18, beginning with verse 15. If your brother sins against you, go show him his fault between you and him alone. If he hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he hear thee not, take with thee one or two more, that at the mouth of two witnesses or three, every word may be established. And if he refuse to hear them, tell it to the church. And if he refuse to hear the church also, let him be unto thee as the Gentiles and the publicans. Well, as Christians, we need to know the Lord's teaching on this subject, and likewise do it when it's necessary. I've known members of the church, maybe you have too, who've just quit. Who quit coming to worship. Just quit trying to live the Christian life. Because somebody at church, or within the church, hurt their feelings. Didn't do what they thought they ought to do, or said something they shouldn't have said. And the tragedy is, when those things happen, a person who quits is really taking it out on the whole church, when it's just one member maybe that did something. Or maybe they're even trying to take it out on the Lord when it wasn't the Lord's fault. Point is, let's just make those things right. May not always be easy, but make it right. You can go to that person. I mentioned Wednesday night here in the auditorium class. Two Wednesday nights ago, we had a visitor, and after the class, he came by and was speaking to me, and he said, you know, several years ago, and this was many years ago, I remember the individuals involved, but he said, I worked for one of the plants here in Columbia, and one of the men who happened to be a member at Graymere was over me. He was our boss. And he said each morning he would come in and he would tell some off-color stories and sometimes use some words that Christians shouldn't be using, and there were women and men present, and so it would get embarrassing. And he said, one day I went to his house, and I said, do you have any idea what you're doing as a Christian and what you're doing to the church? It took a lot of courage to do that. The man was his boss. He said the man had tears in his eyes. And he said, you'll never hear me say anything like that again. Next morning he came back to work. He called the people that were under him together. He apologized for what he had done. He told them it would never happen again. Now, I thought that was a good example of what the Lord is saying here to us. If there's a problem, go to the person. That man could easily have gone around to all the people at work and started a lot of ugly things about the man and criticized him, but he took the right path. He went to him, and it changed the man's life and likewise helped the whole situation. Well, that's what the Lord is saying. That's the first thing to do. We need to know the teaching, and we need to do the teaching. It's sad that sometimes we just don't quite have the courage to do it, and I'm not saying you, all of us, sometimes have a problem with that. Well, here's another first, talking about priorities in our life, things that Jesus said need to come first. You can quote this passage readily, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. Well, now, he had just said before making that statement, be not anxious what you'll eat or what you shall drink or wherewith you shall be clothed, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. Really, he was striking hard and criticizing, rebuking, really, his disciples for their weak faith. They were more concerned about what they were going to eat and drink and the clothes they were going to put on. He said, I'll take care of that. You put the church first. Put my kingdom first, and I'll see that you have the necessities of life. Maybe not the best of everything, but I'll take care of you. And that's when he said to them, oh, ye of little faith. Would the Lord say that to us sometime? As Christians, we need to put our trust in the Lord and not worry ourselves sick over things of this world, things over which we really have little or no control. Love the statement Solomon made. Oh, if we could just all put it into practice. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge Him, and He'll guide your paths. You believe that? That we'll put our trust in the Lord, that He'll guide us and He'll take care of us? And Paul added to that, in nothing be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Ah, what a wonderful statement. Is our faith weak sometimes? Would he say to us, oh, you have little faith, put so much time on the material things? You know, really, our vocation, our main business, our job ought to be the Lord's work, the church. And our hobby, our avocation, our sideline, that's even the way of making a business. I remember hearing a story one time about a cobbler, Glenn, shoe man. And somebody asked him, what's your work? And he said, being a Christian. He said, oh, but what is your work? He said, well, I'm a cobbler, but that's just my sideline. Well, for all of us, the Lord is saying, put first the church. Is the church first in your life? Is it really the number one thing, the Lord's family, the living the Christian life, heaven out there before us? Is that the priority that we have? Is the church our first interest? Or is it just our hobby, our sideline? And when we don't have other things to do, then we can put the church in our plans. Well, the Lord said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Another first. This one found in John 1:41. He, Andrew, findeth first his own brother Simon, and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted Christ. He brought him unto Jesus. First thing Andrew did when he found the Lord was to go find his brother, bring him to the Lord. 10th chapter of Acts, you read about Cornelius, first Gentile convert that we have a record of. And he invited Peter to come to his house and to teach them. But before Peter got there, the first thing he did was to invite his kinfolks and his friends to come to the house so that when Peter got there, he could teach them also. Findeth first his own brother. Brother Gordon, I don't know whether it's a true story or not, but I like the illustration about a man who was blind, and he had gone to the doctor, and the doctor had been able to restore his sight. And a few days later, the man came back holding to a rope, and there were 10 men holding onto that rope, and they too were blind, and he was bringing them to the doctor. The Lord's healed our souls if we're Christians. Have we ever taken hold of a rope and tried to lead somebody else to the Lord? I'm sure you have. But that's what he's saying here. Find others. Find even those who are close to you. He found his own brother. Cornelius found his kinsman. But the Christian life involves bringing others to the Lord. It was Mid McKnight who said many, many years ago that the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. And we are to bear fruit to the glory of God. And part of that is bringing others to Him as we have that opportunity. So he first findeth his own brother. There's a priority. Well, I'm going to mention just one more. And really this one kind of sums all of them up. This is found in 2 Corinthians 8. It's verse 5. Paul, of course, is speaking, and he says, first they gave their own selves to the Lord and to us through the will of God. Well, you recognize this as the time when Paul was using the Macedonian churches as an example to those in other places, in Corinth. And he's just saying, these brethren were so dedicated to the Lord, they gave out of their zeal, they gave out of their love for the Lord. He said they gave liberally, and he added they gave out of their deep poverty. He said they gave beyond what they were able to give, and they just begged us, he said. They besought us to take the gift. And then he says the secret of it all was, the reason they were able to do that, the reason they did do it, was because first they gave themselves to the Lord. And you know, once we give ourselves to the Lord, literally, then these other things are going to fall in place. This is the gift without which all of the other gifts really are meaningless. We're to give ourselves to the Lord. I think about what Paul said in that great Corinthian letter, 1 Corinthians 13. If I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profiteth me nothing. And he added in that section, if I give all my goods to feed the poor, but I have not love, not worth anything. And you know, we can do a lot of outward things, but if we're really not giving ourselves to Him, it really doesn't make much difference. It's not going to profit us anything. But when we give ourselves to the Lord, then all these other things that the Lord requires of us are rather easy to do. Think about a man, I remember hearing a long time ago about a man who was going to be baptized. And this was back when they'd go down to the river. And he was about to step in the water, and somebody noticed that he had his billfold in his pocket. And they said, don't you want me to hold your billfold? And he said, no, I want my billfold baptized with me. Well, all that we have when we come to the Lord belongs to Him. Our billfold and everything else. Our time, our present, our future, whatever we have, whatever we expect to have. We're turning that over to the Lord. And so, first, they gave themselves. I wonder if this morning there's someone here who's ready to give themselves to the Lord. All of us, Christians, non-Christians, that's really what we need to be doing, isn't it? But if you're not a Christian, now's the time. Put Him first. Give yourself to Him. Believe that He is the Christ. Not enough, but believe that He is the Christ and be willing to say that to others. Confess it. Romans 10:10. And to repent of sins. Luke 13:3. And to be buried with Him in baptism for the forgiveness of sins. And then comes that great 47th verse of Acts 2 where it says the Lord will add us, or did add the saved to the church. And we can be a part of this great family of God, the church, the Lord's family. And as we continue to live that Christian life, putting the Lord first, in our life in every way, eventually we can hear Him say, "Well done. Well done. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to set you over many. I'll enter into the joy of the Lord." Won't that be great? If you're subject to His invitation, you need to come back to Him. This would be a wonderful time. Is your heart right with God? Would you come now as together we stand and sing?